I forgot my gavel, but. Commission on Aging meeting of March. And first order of business, we usually start with other.
Is she on?
Yeah. Hello, Faith, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, just one second, morning, okay, all right, we're gonna stand for the pledge of allegiance right now.
I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And I hope everybody's got a copy down there, you need a copy of the. All right, so next order of business is introductions. Next order of business, introductions and the, I'd like to, we usually just spend about a minute, but since we have a lot of new people, I'd like to know a little bit, if you can give a background and where we are.
Get it over, start with me. I'm Lana Burton, I live in the old village of Alden, not Greer Alden, right there, close to the Alden Alden, in the river district. My background is in publishing. I did some writing at Barbara Books, in Texas. But I mainly work in production, indexing and editing that publication, which I enjoy much more than.
You wrote?
Yes, on novels, office procedures.
Office procedures.
And shoot, back when computers.
Bending over back.
Back when the computers took up the whole wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm the first one to admit, I know very, very little about what I'm doing.
Yay.
Blank slate, I'm ready to learn. And so here I am.
Welcome.
All right. I'm gonna go around the table as well.
Hi, everyone, I'm Marcia Pell, this is my first time in this building and first time attending. I live in Sterling, and last year I moved into a 55-plus community on Route 7. So I have my own built-in focus group for anything that you're interested in. I am new-ish to Virginia. When I was 10 years old, we took a trip to Williamsburg. And then when I was 65 years old, I moved to Virginia. So I love it.
From where did you move?
I'm from the Mid-Atlantic area, so mostly New Jersey, Pennsylvania, I moved to Philadelphia. I was a newspaper reporter covering the Atlantic City casino scene, and I thought, you know, I think I want to be a publicist. That looks like a lot of fun. So for 10 years, I lived in Atlantic City in the casino industry doing entertainment. Moved to Philadelphia, continued doing publicity, used to doing corporate meetings and things like this. And with the age of computers, everything is done virtually. So I work for a PR agency now that specializes in toys.
Yeah.
And the new term for us is called kidult. We're all kidults. If you're a grown-up that likes to play, you're a big kid.
Where in Philadelphia?
Chester County. So right on the border of Delaware.
Right. My sister lives in Ashton. I'm from South Philly.
There you go. Turkey's Bakery.
Longwood Gardens.
At Stakes.
I miss my hoagies.
Okay, thank you. Welcome, Robin.
Hi, I'm Robin Reeves-Burke. I represent the Broad Run District. I'm a small business owner of a company called WISE, where youth and seniors engage. So I totally relate to the, is it kidult?
Kidult.
Kidults, yes. I handle those a lot. I wear many community hats, so I serve as the executive director of the Loudoun Freedom Center here in Loudoun County. Where we work to protect and promote African-American history. Serve as the first vice president of the NAACP Loudoun branch, where this year we'll be celebrating our 84th year. And I'm also on the board of directors for the African-American Community Alliance. And it's wonderful to be here.
We're just introducing ourselves and saying hello.
Good morning.
Hi, Lakeisha.
Hi. Is my turn?
Yeah, yeah. So
I'm
just
Hi.
Who we are.
I'm Lakeisha McDurfee. I am the chair at large. I have a senior care business. And I am very passionate about everything in the aging adult community. You name it, I pretty much want to be involved in it. It's a growing population that I think really needs our attention. So I am very blessed and thankful that I'm able to do this and give my attention to the aging population. I think that's really it for me.
No, it's not.
Oh.
I have to say that you're a member, head of the board of the Ashburn.
Oh, Association. Yes. Yes. So I am the chair of the Ashburn Senior Center Advisory Board, and I am very active with NVAN. And
everybody know what NVAN is.
So NVAN for the Northern Virginia Aging Network. And with NVAN, we do a lot of advocacy work for the aging population. So I'm very active with that. And there's something else. I think that's everything.
You teach.
Sale. I teach.
How about the
Sale, which is a
independent,
staying active, independent living, which is a fall prevention workout class. And I teach that at the Ashburn Senior Center on Fridays at 10:30 if you're interested in coming.
Be there, be square.
Yes.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Rich Payne. I represent the Algonquin District and have been here sitting next to the chair or in the chair for almost 8 years now.
Must be tired,
I know. Enjoying it and enjoy the fresh faces. So other than Tricia and Terry, I've been here longer than anybody. My sunglasses are because I had an eye appointment today after eye surgery yesterday, cataract removed, so the second of two. So I'm now a man who should be able to read without glasses. Not quite yet, but getting there. And looking at interesting, you always look for statistics. Apparently, well, cataracts are a result of growing old, to go figure. And about 65% of elderly people have cataracts in their lives. So how about that?
Practical exercise.
Yeah, exactly. Now the one question, I have a daughter whose mother-in-law had heart surgery and had to move to an apartment in Herndon, which is Fairfax County. I said, well, I'll send you the link to the Fairfax County Area Agency on Aging. And it turns out it's Department of Family Services, Older Adults. Is that right? There's no area agency on aging in Fairfax County. Unless
there is.
There is? Okay, I need to get smart on that. So
they're within a department just like us. Mm-hmm. So they're not like a standalone
agency. Yeah. So they're within the Department of Family Services. It's the older adults section. And while I have your population, your attention on older adults, turns out that if you take a look at 100 people in the Earth's population, 11 are in Europe, 5 are in North America, 9 are in South America, 15 are in Africa, and 60 are in Asia. 49 live in the countryside, 51 live in cities, 75 have mobile phones, 25 do not, 30 have internet access, 70 do not have the availability to go online, although that's improving because we as the Commission on Aging have assisted the Board of Supervisors with pursuing extending internet out to Western Loudoun. Did all that? Fair statement, Trish. Seven received a university education, 93 did not go to college, 83 can read, 17 are illiterate, 26 live less than 14 years. 66 die between 15 and 64. And there are 65. There are only 8 who are 65 and older in the world population. And this is as of 2022.
I know.
And that's right. And this was printed in 2022. We found it while going through stuff yesterday. And I'll leave this with Terry if she wants to run it off. But if you didn't leave the world before age of 64, you are truly best amongst mankind. If you think you're suffering memory loss, it's called anosognia. And it's not, well, it gets interesting. If anyone is aware of the memory problems, they do not have Alzheimer's. You forget the name of family members, sure, but then you recall them again. You don't remember you put something, but you remember you have them. This often happens to people who are over 60. After 60 years, most people have some difficulty, which makes me feel better about myself.
I'm concerned. I lost something.
I know where it is, but I'm certain it's in my house somewhere.
There you go. You still lose
your car, but you know what they do.
Yeah. So I'm okay. That's a problem.
That's right.
Rich, I understand you used to be in the military, too.
I wasn't. Oh, yeah. I was in the Navy for 25 years, so.
That's okay.
I know. He's an Army guy, so we spar a little bit on that. So
my husband was Air Force.
Uh-huh. Yes, so was my dad.
And I was with IBM for 15 years. So.
Oh, my dad was IBM for 26 years? No, 29.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you. Faith, first of all, very sorry to hear about your father passing away. And I want to know if you'd like to say a few words. But several new people here. We're just introducing ourselves to everyone. So I hope that we can hear you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Morning, Faith.
I'm Faith Benjamin. I'm with the Ashland District. I've lived in Ashland for over 20 years, well, actually over 30 years. I'm born in Cairo, Egypt, actually, but have been in the United States since 89 and been in Virginia since the age of 12. So I grew up in Northern Virginia and then was married. We ended up having a home in Ashburn and been joined in Ashburn since 1993. And my passion is in human services to seniors in Lodge County and the community surrounding us and getting the word out with the individuals to the services. It's a lot of experience and very important services, in recreation, community service, GRCS. And I still feel that a lot of folks are not connecting to those services, especially when it's very important to their health and safety as they age. So I'm all about getting the word out and trying to connect those individuals to services. Not only on the government level, but the community and the church level, and, school level, any way that we can get the word out, talking to our neighbors, talking to our networks, and also InVan, which Leticia and Tony mentioned, the Northern Virginia Aging Network is a spectacular organization. It's not even a nonprofit, it's really just a group of folks who are very diligent and very knowledgeable. And they have been around for probably more than 20 years, maybe more than 30 years. And they are really good about advocating. And they have a lot of outreach, and they very just do a wonderful service. And of course, they feed off of CLA around the Northern Virginia area. So I would ask, respectfully ask everyone to please get knowledgeable about any band and also participate. It's almost like an arm to CLA and to what we are trying to do. So thank you very much for your condolences, and I look forward to working with you. I look forward to seeing you all next meeting. Thank you.
Thanks, Faith.
Thanks, Faith.
And interestingly, Faith mentioned NVAN, as did Lakeisha. The next NVAN meeting is on March 19th, and all of the presentations are online. So the agenda was just sent out.
I sent out yesterday.
And that's on Zoom, correct?
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's Microsoft Office something now, but Google. Zoom-ish. Google. Yeah.
Can we go back and pick that up if we can't be at a meeting? Is it recorded?
I know they have minutes.
I can be there for about an hour at that meeting, and then I have to leave because I have another meeting.
That's fine. Yeah. It's nice to be busy, isn't it?
Yeah.
But
you can do it.
Yeah.
And the big thing about NVAN is, while we're on that subject, it's a group of Northern Virginia counties, Fairfax, Miami County, the five counties. The main thing is they work with legislators in Richmond to get things done, procedures. That's the main point of that. Yeah, and we can give you copies of the latest, with the legislative actions where they were pushed, but that NVAN was pushed.
I did attend the last meeting.
Oh, okay.
I downloaded all that.
And COA, part of our charter, is to contribute to NVAN and its issues. And that's what Lakeisha is now sitting on, one of the committees. And the committee that you're sitting on?
Advocacy committee?
Yeah. For what?
So for the advocacy committee, we had, was it 8 platforms or so that we were very interested in for to bring to legislation to see if we can get bills passed and or budget items. And so after we presented those items to the legislators, then we went back and we wanted to follow up with communication or emails or meetings to make sure that we had some FaceTime to let them know how passionate we were about the bills that we were interested in. And then after that, then it went to the General Assembly. And so then we were still writing and making sure that they knew that we were still supporting that particular legislation. There were 2 people that went down to Richmond in support of our bills, and they spoke at hearings. So we were able to watch some of those hearings online. And then, like tonight, I have to follow up to the governor now, because there's one bill that's in the governor's hands. He actually passed one 2 or 3 days ago This Benefits Us. It's virtual meetings. So that bill passed. So we were really excited about that. So now we just want to make sure that it extends beyond here, like that it also extends to people with disabilities. So I'm going to write a letter to the governor tonight, in support for that.
And interesting, Leslie coordinates a lot of those NVAN efforts, putting together the annual legislative breakfast and getting invites out. So she's a gal of many talents. And a relatively new mom, 2-year-old, is that right? Let's see, the youngest.
I have 3. My oldest is almost 9.
COA also then makes, as I mentioned, recommendations recommendations to the Board of Supervisors and to the Area Agency on Aging. The Area Agency on Aging provides us a lot of support, but in return, we talk to them. So thank you.
Okay, I'm finished.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I just Tony Pasolo or Anthony Pasolo, I represent the Leesburg District, Kristen Olmstead. I've been on the commission here for several years, I guess, four or five. Sure. And I'm from Philadelphia originally, as was mentioned there, Temple grad, ROTC, school teacher. I went in the Army 3 years, then I got out, tried to teach school in Philadelphia at a fourth grade, 43 kids. And my wife was pregnant, pre-existing condition, and it was bad. Then 43 kids, stationary desk, nobody could read or write. And I went back in the Army. I said, Vietnam's easier than this. Pre-existing condition was my wife was pregnant. That's a cross this year didn't cover. So I should have stayed in the Army. Anyway, finished 20 years in the Army. Worked for Marriott for about 6 years, 4 years in loss prevention, 2 years hotel management, and then Bethesda. And then I got a chance to get back overseas again. I spent 8 years in Italy, 8 years in Germany, 1 year Vietnam, 1 year Korea. Yeah. Went back to Italy where my father was born, which was kind of neat. And I ended up in the Pentagon. I was there on 9/11. I waited one more year, lost two friends, and I know a colonel was burned very severely over his body. Since I've been a sub teacher since 2003. I got out of 2002 in the Loudoun County school system. Well, I haven't been in a classroom though since last May. The whole atmosphere has changed in the school system, and I'll be 87 in August, and my patience is not there anymore. So, but I'm still active. I'm an election official, and I guess that's about all I want to say, who I am. And what I see we're doing here, what our role is, that we're like a link between the adult community, the older Americans, and AAA, Board of Supervisors, who we represent, and how we can help each other. You know, if there's something that will come up here, we're going to talk about the budget, for example, later. If there's something in there that we see, we contact our supervisors and say, hey, we really want to make sure this gets in the budget. They want to hire somebody that we politics for them. Yeah. That's what I find. That, I think that's, and then the other thing, communications. I think Rich mentioned one of the things we try to do. There's so many things that this organization does here, and it's amazing. I didn't realize it until I sat on this commission. So we're getting the word out. And Deborah Bressler has a program they call about ambassador program. She'll tell you about this. Right? She's a volunteer lady, Deborah Bressler. And she talks about talking to your church groups, your HOA, whatever group you're in, to get the word out to people. And then they I've gone over what I wanted to say.
Let me add to Tony's recitation. He is also a community ambassador who participates in the meal delivery program.
Mm-hmm. So, every Wednesday. It's amazing. The rich county here that we have, but mm-hmm. I mean, I deliver food to people who have oxygen. That's maybe the only meal they get. Mm-hmm. And even into, say, Riverside, you know, big homes and all that, but there's a need. Mm-hmm. Just yes. Out there. So, yeah, I urge you all to get involved in local programs. Okay, so let's see. Our guest speakers here longer than I wanted to.
It's interesting. We didn't wind it up.
Okay, thank you. All right, so we'll go on with Red. Health Protective Services with us today, and good evening.
It's always nice to have you folks here and discuss the progress that you're making. So
we enjoy coming. Thank you. So my name's Lucy. I am the intake worker for Loudoun County's Adult and Aging Unit here with Family Services. We're just waiting for them to come up. Technologies. This is how I do here. I put together a short little presentation to kind of give you an overview of what we do at the Adult and Aging Services Unit.
Do you want me to?
Thank you. I appreciate it. So here in Loudoun County, Adult Aging Services, we are divided into two separate groups. One is Adult Protective Services. The other one is the Adult Services Unit, which covers our companion services, our screenings for long-term service and support, guardianship program, and our intensive case management program. So we'll start with Adult Protective Services. Adult Protective Services, what we do is we investigate allegations of abuse, neglect, and exploitation for adults age 60 and older or 18 and older who are incapacitated. We are on call 24/7. So after hours, our APS hotline is the 703-777-4437. Our state hotline is available 24 hours a day. Our local APS hotline, after 5 o'clock, that rolls into our sheriff's office, where we do have an on-call worker 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I man the hotline Monday through Friday, 8:35. So for APS investigations, when we are looking at investigations, our investigator, they are required to make an unannounced home or facility visit to interview the client within 24 hours or up to 7 days, depending on our circumstances of the report. When we say facility, that's like a nursing facility or assisted living or group home facility.
Lucy, would you give them an instance of what would be a 24-hour?
Sure. So when I take a report, or anybody who takes an APS report, we do screen it for validity. Just basically, it has to meet our criteria for abuse, neglect, or exploitation. And then the second step of that is to determine whether it's a 24-hour response or 7-day response. The state gives us up to 7-day response for things that don't require an immediate action. The 24-hour response are things that are either an emergency or require immediate action, or there's risk of self-harm or harm to others. So in instance of a 24-hour is if we get an allegation, someone who's bedbound, has not had access to food or water within, you know, a certain period of time, and there's no caregiver in sight. We're going to respond to that one within 24 hours, most likely same day. Another 24-hour, there are criteria that a lot of times we do have to respond within 24 hours. Some of those are physical abuse or sexual abuse. We will respond within 24 hours. If we do receive a report that has allegations of sexual abuse, financial exploitation, or criminal activity, I am required to contact law enforcement immediately. So we do send over a referral for investigation to law enforcement if it has any of those criteria in it. Now they choose to investigate or not. We don't have anything to do with whether or not they choose to investigate those allegations or those referrals that we send over. The services that we can provide with APS include provision of emergency stabilization services such as food, immediate transportation, short-term counseling, crisis intervention, hospitalization, nursing home, or assisted living placement. Clients do have the right to refuse our services. When their capacity is in question, APS will seek evaluation by appropriate professional. When we say that a client has the ability to refuse our services, is because all adults have autonomy, and they can choose to live. They can choose to neglect. They can choose to self-neglect. We can't force our services on anybody who doesn't want it. We will try to offer them services, but they do have the right to refuse our services.
I ask, I'm sorry, I may have missed the ALF means what?
Assisted living facility.
Oh, okay.
We like acronyms.
I love it.
Yeah, both Tony and I are military. We like that.
We got it.
Everything
you
got, an hour. So, this one I just added just because I know everybody loves statistics. So, in fiscal year 2023, which would have run from July 2022 to the end of June 2023, we received 941 reports. 660 of them were valid that we investigated. Out of that, 177 were responded to within 24 hours. And then I won't read all of those, but our founded substantiated reports, out of all of those reports, the 660, it breaks down what were valid, what we substantiated as it was happening. The neglect or abuse was happening. And then the living environment at the time of the reports. So for probably 90%, 80% of our reports we receive, it does happen in the individual's own home or the relative's home that they're residing in.
Can we see the slide, that last slide where you had 193 self-neglect? What then happens? Because I would assume either they live on their own or with a family member.
Mm-hmm.
So then if they're self-neglecting, then what, do they stay in the home? Do you place them somewhere else, or do you give them some type of service?
So for us, adult and aging, mm-hmm. we are always looking at the least restrictive environment. Mm-hmm. So our plan is to always keep them in the least restrictive environment.
Yeah.
It is our preference to keep them in the home
yeah.
if it is possible to safely keep them there. Like I said, we can't force them to leave.
Right.
But for self-neglect, so there are options, Medicaid waiver services. We may offer a screening for Medicaid waiver services, which would provide that in-home care to help prevent any future self-neglect. Companion program. If they don't meet that criteria, we refer them over to our companion program for possible companion services.
Mm-hmm.
We will often refer them out to the Area Agency on Aging for home delivered meals,
yeah.
for other services that they may offer. Loud volunteer caregivers mm-hmm. is another referral that we make, especially if they need representative payee or transportation to doctor appointments, things like that.
Are people pretty receptive to it when you offer that to them?
Some of them are. I don't necessarily do the investigations. I do the intake portion of it. But our recidivism rate
yeah.
is not that high. So for the most part, we do get individuals who want our help.
That's good.
But you're always going to have the ones that's
yeah.
kind of reluctant
yeah.
to accept assistance. In which case, when they come back in, sometimes they will agree to it, the second or third time they see us.
Yeah.
One statistic I don't see, you have 941 reported. Is that self-reported, or is it like a loved one, caregiver, or like who's making those reports?
So that we actually don't keep track of.
Mm-hmm.
We don't keep the statistic on who makes the reports, like what agency makes the reports. But out of that 941 of the 660 that were valid, the rest of them were invalid, meaning they did not meet my criteria for an investigation. But we don't keep the statistic of who makes that report.
Okay.
And a person is allowed to be an anonymous reporter.
Yeah.
Even mandated reporters.
But you do keep statistics on the organization that made the report.
They are there. I did not add them in the
yeah,
slide.
Yeah.
It can be pulled through the system, but
yeah.
we don't necessarily look at that. I think maybe at the state level, they may look at who's making the reports. I know it's available. We don't necessarily pull it for any of the statistics in-house.
Okay.
Adult services. So long-term services support. Those are our screens. They are for assessments for adults entering or residing in assisted living facilities, or we'll just go through and I'll explain it. The adult services unit last year, fiscal year, completed 33 assisted living facility assessments and helped with 30 placements. We helped 30 individuals get placement in assisted living facilities from home. Screenings for adults entering nursing facilities or who need Medicaid-funded home and community-based waivers. That's our screenings. We completed last year 532 individual nursing home or CCC plus waiver services in the fiscal year 2023. So, and some of those came from, you know, our APS investigations where they have that self-neglect or neglect. We are offering these screenings. These screenings are designed to bring that home health care into the home for people that are qualified or eligible or having that skilled nursing facility placement. Ongoing intensive case management. We have two intensive case management case managers in our adult services unit, and we serve adults 16 and older or 18 and older who have an impairment. And by impairment, I define this one for you, an adult whose physical or mental capacity is diminished to the extent that he or she needs counseling or supervision and or assistance with their activities of daily living or instrumental activities of daily living. Adults must request these services themselves and work with a family services specialist to create a service plan. Sometimes I will have other people, family members, or agencies call me about adult services for an individual, and I do explain to them that the adult themselves actually has to request the adult services because they are the ones that have to sign that service plan and work with our adult service worker.
Lucy, can you tell them a little bit about what ADLs are and IADLs are so that they get a good picture of why someone would be calling for help?
Sure. So, and it plays a very large part in actually meeting criteria for our CCC plus waiver or nursing facility. Activities of daily living. Those are the things that you do every day. Bathing, dressing, toileting, eating, feeding, whether or not you are incontinent, your mobility, all of those things that we do every day, we take for granted that we can do these things every day. But when you get to the point that you require another human person to help you with things as simple as transferring from a chair to the toilet or from the chair to the bed or to a wheelchair, instrumental activities of daily living, those are those activities like housekeeping, laundry,
cooking,
home maintenance, using a telephone, being able to physically use a telephone, instrumental activities. There's so much that we do on a daily basis that we take for granted that we have the ability to do because subconsciously you do them every day. But when you are aging or you have a physical ailment or, you know, just a significant trauma, like a stroke or a heart attack or just starting getting older, we take for granted that you can't, I mean, you just can't do them anymore. But when you start requiring another human person to help with those things, that's when you're wanting to reach out for adult services or a companion program or a screening for Medicaid waiver services.
And if you're at that state then, and you mentioned, how then can you self-report? If you're unable to use a phone or you have someone that's there assisting you or an advocate for you, they don't have the ability to help you with that reporting or trying to get those intensive services?
So for the screening, let's break it down. So for screenings, a friend can call in.
Okay.
A friend, a family member can call in for the nursing home screenings or CCC plus screenings.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, you can have somebody else, a representative, can call in and request that screening.
Mm-hmm.
When we come out and do that screening, the individual themselves or their legal representative has to be the one signing the service application.
Okay.
But a family member or relative, friend, anybody can help do that. We typically don't accept screening requests from home health agencies. because it's kind of a conflict for them to call us and ask us to screen the money. For adult services, for intensive case management, that's the one that requires the person themselves to request that. I've had people request adult services that has called in on a three-way phone call because their family member has said, hey, I think they really need help, or some other person, a neighbor, a friend, and they'll put them on the phone with me on a three-way call. And all I need is their permission that, yes, I want this service, and then I can get the information from that person while we're on that phone together.
So it can be as simple as you calling on behalf of me, and all I have to do is say yes.
Yes.
When asked, because you're right, a lot of people can't use the phone.
Right.
They can't access it, or they've forgotten how to dial, but they don't have a guardian at that point. And that's what they're going to help with, that process. But as long as they tell Lucy yes and give her that permission, then she can move forward.
Absolutely. I've done a lot of three-way phone calls for that reason. So intensive families, case management, we can assist the client with connecting to services such as housing, public assistance, transportation. We did serve 93 individuals last fiscal year. A lot of times we will help them apply for benefits, apply for SNAP benefits, Medicaid, Social Security, Social Security disability. It's a long process and it's difficult to apply. I've taken a lot of requests from people asking for assistance with that, specifically with that, and with housing, helping them, find, we don't necessarily, they're not a realtor, we can't help them find housing, but if they have other needs, we can also add that.
One of the things you didn't mention was banking. So they get these benefits, who deposits it? How do they, is there someone managing the finances if they're not able to?
You got to have a power of attorney.
Yes, that's what I was wondering, legal documents.
Right.
So you advise, say, the daughter of the person incapacitated to get that letter, or is it too late when you're at this point?
Probably too late. You have to make a power of attorney when you are mentally capable of making those decisions.
Those things that you really need to get out of the public.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And we advocate for that as well. Is, getting your legal representatives
while you're younger
addressed, while you still have that mental capacity to do so that when you get to a situation where cognitively you can't, you've already got that person established who you want to serve their affairs.
We have had cases where they needed after, and then we're in there working with normally AAA has a caseworker, and we'll work with them because we have to find a family member to take over at that point. We have to find...
Right. We work with legal services. We make referrals to there. We work with there. If it's absolutely necessary, we work with, our county attorneys for
guardianship.
And things like that. Like, as a last resort. Guardianship should always be a last resort.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Companion program. So for our companion program, we serve incapacitated adults and adults over 60, and it is designed to assist adults with aging in place by maintaining their independence or allowing them to remain in their own home. We provide services such as bathing, toileting, light housekeeping, and other personal care needs. We do have an income, estate income guideline for companion services that they must meet. So fiscal year 2023, we served 204 people with companion services, providing those services to them on a daily basis or a weekly basis.
Can you recite those income guidelines or close to it? Individual, family?
I can probably send that to you.
You can send it to me.
We do have the state guidelines because it's broken down, I think, into like three or four different guidelines.
Oh, yes.
Of the state median, like 40%, 50%, 60%.
Goes up to 70.
It goes up to 70. So yeah. We can send those over because those are state guidelines.
Yeah.
I'll send that over to Tricia to have it available for you.
And the reason it's income-based is because this is a free program to the residents. It's a completely free program to the Loudoun County residents.
So
So people who can afford to pay for this for themselves should pay for it themselves.
No, they cannot.
Not for this program.
No, she's saying it.
No, I'm saying people who can't afford to pay for it themselves should and must pay for it themselves.
A different
Someone
source.
Who can't pay for it themselves.
Yes, ma'am. Which is naturally the right thing to do. Yes, ma'am. Because it is state and yeah. So the portion comes from state, and then a portion of it comes from our local funding. We would like to be able to serve more people, but it's all in the budget and what we have the funding for. But 204 people we were able to keep safely home for year 2023. Guardianship. So guardianship, what we do is we monitor all guardianship cases for the incapacitated adults that reside in Loudoun County. What we do is we complete the annual reviews that are submitted to the courts. I'll go into more detail. We currently have 583 open guardianship cases that we monitor. So,
good.
583. So Loudoun County, so all individuals who have been deemed incapacitated by the courts and are appointed a guardian, those guardians are required by law to submit an annual report every 12 months, an annual report. All those annual reports we generate, we send them to the guardians every year. They need to fill them out and send them back to us. It's like a 3-page report basically telling us how their year went. What's their physical health condition, how many times they go to the doctor, how many times did the guardian visit them, you know, what's their physical, mental, social, all of it. We want to know everything. We want to make sure that the guardian is meeting their obligation to this adult. And then we review them for APS concerns and send them off to the courts.
So I assume a guardian is when a family member is unavailable. So who are guardians?
So a family member can be a guardian.
Oh, family member can be.
And we prefer it that way.
Okay.
Because family make better guardians than somebody who doesn't know them or an agency. There are public guardianship programs. There's a couple of them in the area. I think they have wait lists right now. But there are public guardianships. Some attorneys will do guardianships. They do guardianship cases. But most often it's a family member.
Yeah.
Not
really. And we help with that. So as Lucy showed you before with adult services, oftentimes when Lucy gets a call like that and she refers it, she'll let the adult service worker know, hey, this is probably going to be a guardianship. And we'll guide them. We'll help them with the paperwork. We'll help them with the report. Because it's scary to go before the court and say, okay, you know, mom or dad or whomever's at this point, right? But we've walked into situations where no one knew that they needed a guardian, but they needed a guardian because circumstances were incredibly bad. But the family members didn't live near. And at that point, you're asking for a public guardian. You're asking. But there is guidance. We do guide. We do encourage. We will be right there with you to go through that guardian process. And we have one worker dedicated to guardianship.
Who is that person?
Laura, I can never pronounce her name.
Steenstra.
And Lucy can send her name over to Terry. She will.
Yeah, I have it. She's the one that sends me the report.
Yes. Like, yes.
Or no, it's Vera.
Well, it was Laura. And now Laura switched hats. And now she's guardianship. And Vera Yara is...
Lucy, how often do you find that you need guardians for seniors?
Well, I think currently right now we have, I think, 4 APS investigations, ongoing investigations that they've determined that we need guardians for. So I think right now our APS unit is dealing with 4 individuals that they are working with guardianships on.
That are seniors specific?
That are seniors.
Okay, so the reason that I ask is because I am a national certified guardian, and I don't think I've even shared that with you.
No, you did not, or I would have just blasted your name right on out there.
Now you can.
Because we actually have 2 right now that we cannot find guardians for.
Yeah, so a lot of times I'll get a call, but it's not for, I specifically want to deal with senior specific, right? I don't, and a lot of times I don't
It's I'm in, when I get back, I'm passing your contact information.
I'll give you my card. You have my email, though.
I have everything for you, girl.
Thank you.
You're like that. So I will pass that on because it definitely is needed. And as Lucy said, I've had a case where I had to go to an attorney and sort of grovel and ask them to be the guardian. Mm-hmm. And I did all the work in the background because I needed someone to take guardianship. Mm-hmm. This individual had no family willing to take guardianship. Mm-hmm. Then we had another one, and Lucy's very familiar with this case that I'm going to tell you about, where the individual was well under 60, but incapacitated from birth. Mom suddenly passed. Twin has to quit college, come back, and is just overwhelmed with everything that is happening. And her sibling could be violent, right? So cannot keep in the home. And that was a long journey, to convince this precious young person to become guardian, just so I could work with someone else to get them in a group home. But they couldn't go to the group home unless they had guardian.
Right.
Previous guardian was deceased because that was mom. Now, also remember that, as Lucy said, with Brett Payee, this individual's income, which was disability, was locked. So sister didn't even have
financial means
access to the money. So there's Lucy, myself, and anybody else just giving her every resource possible, because until she's a guardian of Rep PE, she can't access this money. So she can't even pay the mortgage. Oh, right? So things like that come through. Lucy filters all of those and, is trying to decide at that moment, is this an APS? Is this an AS? It's probably starting as an APS, but it's going to turn into an AS and then a guardian. So all of those just sometimes matriculate together. So to have someone like you to be able to refer is great, because think about your experience with this young person could have been a great resource for a guide.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know, to have someone just to guide them.
Yeah.
So it's good to have you.
Absolutely. I've been happy. And in full transparency, I've only allotted myself one individual.
Well, you might
because I can't take. I don't know that I can take more than one. But
we'll help you.
I'm sure.
We'll partner with you. I think you can handle those two that Lucy was talking about.
All right, we'll talk.
That case where the mom has who regarded that the
person. Yeah.
Well, that's
financial.
And you can have a conservatorship without a guardianship.
Yeah.
I have both, just so you guys know.
Oh, this is good.
A lot of times it comes together, guardianship and conservatorship. But sometimes you can have just one, or you can have just a guardianship and not a conservatorship. And the state also offers a guide to guardianships. If you're interested,
I have that.
It is on the court website. Yes. It's on our Virginia State Court, Circuit Court website. You can download the guardianship guide.
And can we get these slides sent to us through Terry?
She sent me this. I'll send out what you sent me.
To Tricia, this is something that I just put this on there, and we'll share this with you. These are just the links to apply for some of our benefits or with Common Help. SNAP, fuel assistance, that's it, this website. Fuel assistance, I think, for cooling assistance will be coming up soon. Is it August 15th? Yeah, I think it's usually August 15th that cooling assistance, they'll start advertising, applications will be available for that. And that's another thing that we can help with, too, for those individuals who can't get that, or they can't fill that out. We can also go out and assist with helping.
What about heating? Because my uncle has dementia now, and my aunt is, she's 80, and she's keeping someone just take care of her daughter, but they're going to probably need fuel assistance. So is it September it has to be turned in? October, good.
October
my brother
15th,
asked.
It's usually August 15th, okay. October 15th, I think, are the two dates.
I think we just got an update about that, too. Not too long ago, we got that.
Yep. And so this is new. The last slide. The last slide is new. I
We created a survey for the presentation for when I go out and I do my mandated report of trainings, or I go out and I do these informational presentations. We created this survey just to make sure that the information that we're giving you is complete and what you need. If you have any suggestions, or you want me to add information, or you want something else, please put that on the survey. And we'll be happy to, so that I can adjust it so that what I'm giving you, presenting you, is the information you're looking for.
Before we end, there was a question down here. Your question was for the case that we were talking about, who called? Mm-hmm. Actually, it was a bus driver reported to the school, and the school called.
Mm.
Because sister was just overwhelmed and barely getting the individual to the bus, and the individual was filthy because of the personality. Sister couldn't force him into the bath. And so it was very difficult, but that is just such a beautiful success story, because now that individual is thriving in a group home, and sister is able to go forward with her, you know, being just a sister.
If I have any questions.
So that was good.
Faith, I don't know how much of that you were able to pick up. We're going to be sending the slides out, but can you think of anything at this point that you'd like to ask the presenter?
No,
you said no?
No, I don't have
any. You don't have any? Okay. All right. Thank you. All right.
But thank you,
for
allowing me, and I'm sorry that I
it's
have to be on the lines.
Yeah.
I'm in the phones.
Yes. Right. We need Lucy back on the phones.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Lucy.
Thank you.
Very much.
If I will send that extra information.
Okay.
And I'll pass your information.
We have this other report here.
Yes.
So no reason. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Help us do our job.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye, Rochelle. Come back.
Okay.
Public guests.
We have one guest.
We have your guest, public guest. Can we introduce your mom?
We allow room for any comments from public guests.
There you go.
I'm enjoying the meeting.
Okay.
I'm learning a lot.
And I am a senior.
You are?
I'm Barbara Reeves. I'm 82. I live in Potomac Green in Ashburn. This is my daughter, who is my mother. Thank you.
Okay. Approval of previous meeting minutes. We didn't meet in February, so we just had the January meeting. And
yes.
I guess, I don't know how many of us were here. It's you and I. And
oh,
you
right. Was there.
Yeah.
I was
here. Okay, so take a look at the meeting.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, any comments, any additions, corrections? You have something?
Yeah, just one thing. Just a small edit after those comments that I made. Anyway, I think there was a little bit. Just to add the word hours, that it reflects that outside of work hours, terrified.
What?
Under surveillance comments.
Work. Hours. Oh, hours. Okay. Gotcha. Work hours, right? Sorry. Work hours, Faith, under your comment. Okay. And just include that. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Uh huh.
Okay. Anything else? I have not looking for a motion to approve the minutes or as amended. Made here.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Lina
made a motion and Marsha seconded. Okay, thank you.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Just in reference to what we learned here,
there's a television series called The Guardian, which I'm now watching.
So good.
And every episode is exactly the case study that she's describing. And it's all of the language and behind the scenes of what they describe that they do. And it's incredible. I'm watching on Amazon Prime. It's about 20 years old. And it's the agency in Pittsburgh. And I think you'll appreciate the language and the story that they tell will help us do our job.
Okay.
Absolutely fascinating.
Great. Thank you. Okay.
And what series?
It's The Guardian.
I feel like I know it.
Amazon Prime. Okay. Chairman's report. I'll try to make this brief because we have a lot of things to talk about. First of all, I want to, those of you who did not attend the volunteer recognition event that Deborah Brescia put on, you missed something. Really, it was a great event. A lot of happy people.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rich was there, and Mike Wilkins was there, and Dr. Silverman, who used to be on the commission with you. It was a great event over at the
Bernie Hanson Park.
Hanson Park, yeah. So anytime you see volunteer recognition event, next year, go to it.
Were there a lot of people there? Did a lot of
Oh, it was packed. Yeah. Barely moved.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Salsa theme. Yeah. Yeah.
Rich
I didn't have my dancing shoes on. Otherwise, I would have
danced. Rich danced.
A lot of people danced out there. They had a photographer.
Mike Wilkins took
the roving photographer. Plus, they had a machine that took pictures like
photo booth.
Used to be on the boardwalk. Well, now they have everything, little
props.
More than that, they have the name put in. I'm going to be a terrific guy or whatever.
Yeah, it was really
three or four people to be together. It's a lot of fun. Okay. And speaking of awards, I wanted you to know that I've recommended Rich Payne for the Lifetime Service Award. Richard Payne, Lifetime Service Award. And this is out of the Loudoun Cares. They have a program where they, every year they recognize you. And Mike Wilkins, who's not here right now, but he used to be on the board, and he put him in for the special event, or special activity award. Mike was a big pusher for the 10-star big pusher. So he was a big supporter of the accessible trail. There are two parks that we're working on right now. The park down at the Hanson Place, and that which opened last year, and also working on accessible trails at the Claude Moore Park in Sterling. So I put them in. And I want to thank Wesley for your help in putting the board together, and for Deborah also, and for Tricia for helping with all of that. Appreciate that.
Mr. Tony, do we vote, or you already nominated?
It's in.
So there's no.
Yeah, no, it's an individual thing. I mean, I send it in as. I send it in as Tony Fasolo. Not necessarily, you know. It's anybody could put anybody else in, anyone could put it in. But I don't work with. Okay. One of the things we want to talk about later on is who would like to have the speaker future events, and we're going to talk about the budget and natural orientation for the new people. I guess that's it for now. Had a lot of good information this morning, and that's really. Oh, we're also going to talk about who's going to lead us, right? Elections. And
yes, voting.
That's one of them. Okay, we're going. Okay. So,
Shall I go?
Yes, please. Okay.
All right.
Wait.
So I think I introduced myself to everybody already, but I'm Tricia Budine, and I'm the division manager for the AAA agency, area agency on aging, but we just say AAA because it's less of a mouthful. I'm going to keep my eye on the time. I'm kind of a timekeeper here because we're running a little short, and we do have to be out of here at 11:30. We are planning an orientation for all of the new members and the people that have been here are, of course, welcome to join as well. Deborah Bressler is our volunteer coordinator, and she usually puts that together along with Leslie, who may be getting that situated for us. We're going to try to do that sooner rather than later, so that you all can see how we interact together as the Commission on Aging and the AAA. The Commission on Aging is the advisory board for the AAA, so we obviously work hand in hand. I don't know if Leslie wanted to. Leslie has pulled up our org chart. We thought it might give you. We won't go too far into depth because of time, but she's going to pull it up on the big screen so you can kind of see who we are. And we have many, many programs and services. We do a lot with not a ton of people, but it'll help you if we get it up there so you can see. And we'll also print this out for you so you can see that as well. And I did want to mention, as Tony said, thank you everybody that did come to the volunteer event. It was full to capacity, and it was nice we had Chair Randall and Matt Rogers there to present a check for the volunteer services.
It was $2 million.
Wait, what? What?
$2 million.
$2 million.
Well,
the volunteer hours.
Volunteer hours.
Oh,
I know. Okay. But we all get a portion of nothing.
It was really good. It was a big.
Yep. So we'll go into that later. And hopefully have Deborah Bressler come on in. She did announce that she'll be retiring in June. So,
oh, no.
She's a big part of what we do. So we'll have her pop in and say a few words to you. The other quick things I wanted to present before we jump up there or talk about is. They are in the budget process. It's being wrapped up pretty soon, actually. We did have our aging program specialist position still has made it to the list for being approved. So nothing is officially approved or set yet. That's coming up in the next couple weeks. So we'll have more to tell you about that. Well, why don't we just hop right to that, and I'll have Leslie can do her part as well.
So I'm Leslie Katz. For those of you that we haven't met, but I have worked with the AAA for over 10 years and have been in Loudoun for 14 years. My background here has been in most of those years was the caregiver health promotion coordinator. And last year I took the position of the elder resources program. So I oversee a staff of, I think I have 6-7 people. We do have, we are hiring someone new who will be coming along starting in April for outreach, which I know is a topic of interest to the commission. So I will be giving an outreach presentation to you all to let you know what our outreach efforts have been. Our agency has grown quite significantly over the last 15 to 20 years. Some staff, we do have a little more staff than we've had before, but really with who we're reaching and the scope of our programs. So we, in Elder Resources, which is most of what we'll talk about here when you have suggestions for programs or where your interest might lie, but we assist caregivers, family caregivers mostly. We also do training for professionals. Someone mentioned something today about power of attorney and getting your legal documents in a row. So we do quite a bit of training for caregivers. We have virtual training, in-person training. Actually, our caregiver program is a national award-winning program for caregivers. So our goal is to empower family caregivers so that they can take on the job of caregiving, and it can be a difficult journey to navigate. So we are right there with them. So we have our caregiver coordinator, we have two case managers, We're moving to mature care coordinators, and they are in the community. They're doing home visits. They're at the senior centers. They work with the adult day centers. They work actually with Loud and Hunger Relief. They provide outreach and case management to people who go to Loud and Hunger Relief for support. We also have one aging program specialist who answers all of the phones, and when someone comes in looking for help, that person is there. So we are the first stop for older adults and caregivers in Loudoun County. We are really prevention services. We do help in crisis situations, but if there is a crisis, we will be making a referral to Adult Protective Services if that's the appropriate referral. But really our services are prevention services. And outreach, and then we also have our Medicare counseling program, which is part of, and all I should mention, which we'll talk about in your orientation, but all of these are mandated programs through the Older Americans Act. And so Medicare counseling, we have certified Medicare specialists on staff who can help individuals enrolling in Medicare, changing your prescription drug plan, any kind of Medicare questions. So if you receive a bill from a provider and you thought Medicare was going to cover that, they can assist with that. They do a lot of advocacy and helping navigate that system. So that's just the piece that I work on, and I'm happy to answer questions. We are going to be launching some new programs this spring and summer, and so we'll talk about those at future meetings. But we're really looking forward to working with you, and please do reach out if you have any questions. Our website is loudoun.gov/AAA, and that has a lot of information about our programs.
So we'll also be covering an orientation that all of the different programs and services that we do, but just as our very high level overview today due to time constraints, just to touch on the other services, we do have three adult day centers. One is right here in Leesburg, right up the road. Another in Ashburn, and the other in Percival. We will actually be having a fourth one being built in the next couple of years. It is set for completion in fiscal year 28. So it's going to take a couple of years. Right now we're in the land acquisition phase. So they're finding the land for it, and then it will go into the design phase. So it takes a couple of years to get these approved, and but next 3 to 4 years, we'll be having another adult day center. In addition, we also have, that'll be in the Dulles, South Riding area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We also have the Central Kitchen under us, and the Central Kitchen provides all of the meals for the home delivered meal program, the congregate meal programs, and provides anywhere from 800 to 1200 meals.
800 to 1200
per day, depending on whether they have special events that they're also providing for.
So we have the target number for this year for meals made and served is 180,000 meals. So that's what that kitchen handles.
Pretty gracious.
Yep. And then we also have volunteer services. Volunteer program is in the AAA, and we have a grants specialist who does all of our grants administration, along with Terry, who is also in our group and does a lot for us. I think that covers everybody. And we'll go much more into depth on what all of our programs and services are, but we thought we'd give you that little snapshot today. We have much too much to talk about in the next.
And we'll all be in the orientation.
Yeah. And we'll give you a much more in-depth, better picture. So throwing it all to you in 2 seconds.
Yeah. Was there anything else we wanted to cover today? I don't think so. But I mean, if you have any questions that would help, because the orientation might not be until next month. If you have any.
Yeah. We'll try to get everything.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, we're always open for questions. And it can be a little confusing sometimes what we do and provide as compared with Lucy and Rochelle, who are adult
services or adult protective services in the Department of Family Services. So they're a whole different department. We're under PRCS, which is Parks, Parks Recreation and Community Services. So we'll get that all clarified and laid out for you, so it'll be a little bit more understandable who does what and all the programs and services we provide.
And we do work very closely with Adult Protective Services and Aging Services. And for example, tomorrow we are we'll have a joint meeting with them. And all of their staff, there are approximately 20 of them, and then our staff will be meeting here. So we do work very closely with them. We speak with them on a daily basis. Yep.
All right. That's it.
Okay,
thank you. Yeah, we try to keep to the time. Today was kind of unusual because we didn't want to talk about, but I know, I appreciate what you're saying. So, an old business, I guess the old business would be.
What? He wants a COA.
Got on the new business, but okay.
We also have
COA, COA reports first.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we talked so much about it. Okay. All right. We also allow up to 3 minutes each. Any questions or comments? We did a lot of talking and introducing, but I'd still like to give more time. Okay.
I'm too new to have any comments.
Okay. All right. Well, questions. That we can answer?
Not yet.
Okay, so, all right.
Understand.
Okay.
But we welcome you both.
Yes. Well,
we'll have fresh minds. We'll have fresh ideas.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm hearing everything
for
the first time.
Yeah.
The mind is going.
Well, you know, until I got appointed to this, I never realized all of the things that, to me, I feel like getting the word out to the chairman.
I'll be sending them for you. But yeah, you can have
that's the big thing that I see.
That's what I sent out to
everyone. Most people in my area are brand new to the area, so they have no idea.
And every supervisor puts out a newsletter.
You have to read it.
So definitely give something to them, so they can. And if they're, I don't know, if they need help with the hiring, that it wouldn't hurt to let them know that.
Want to keep that position in the budget? Let me check
where it's at exactly, okay. And if that would help, absolutely.
I believe
it's
really based on the tax
rate. Since Tony brought up the subject of the supervisor newsletter, my comment, we receive emails from Park Recreational Services, which is a very lengthy description and graphics of upcoming events. And a supervisor was not going to put that in that format in her newsletter because of space constraints. So I asked about Craig Troxell, and I contacted him earlier last week and said, is there a link that you can send me that we can then send out to our supervisors, that they can put that link in the newsletter, and he did so. So that's something that I'm going to continue to pursue, and why I want to meet with Craig today to discuss that. And there's so many other announcements that come out and take a while to get printed up and distributed to libraries, and a copy brought to us at our COA meetings, whereas we could have a 2 or 3 week jump if we had a link to those events, so that we could publish it in various locations. I mean, I support communication with our members of our church and the 50s Club in Cascades. So there are a number of potential recipients of that information.
Church bulletin.
Yeah, if we make it just easy for them. So,
Robin,
you agrees that.
Robin, anything?
The only comment I have to report out to my Board of Supervisors representative. So any templates you all use or share, you know, that how you report out to your representative would be helpful. I like how Rich was talking about the links, because I'm sure my report will go into her newsletter, because I have like a little section that I get to report out, but it's just a little section. So just wondering kind of the information that you all share and how you make that efficient for your representative.
That would be very helpful to
I'll take yours if you have a template.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll take yours too if you have a template.
Yes, so that would be helpful. Yeah,
my experience is that the super, oh, I have never subscribed to a template, but I recognize that the information I send has to be condensed, which is why I've pursued the links. And I send it to the chief of staff. Mm-hmm. He and I have a good communication going.
Find the chief of staff of each supervisor.
Yeah.
What I do is send it to Kristen, but then, well, actually, yeah, Kristen, and then courtesy copy to the chief, her chief of staff. Yeah.
So maybe, is there a central repository for those? So again, I would love to report out, like maybe if we're on the same page. Like
Unlikely.
Okay.
That we'll ever be on the same page because Tony has a different approach to life than any of us.
Maybe you
by land or sea.
Just share your last report out or something.
Maybe you all could send us copies of your last report.
Right.
And so we can take a look at what you've said.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then we can get an idea of what we're supposed to be saying.
Okay. Right. Thank you.
So one thing I wanted to mention, just to remind people and let the newer people know, we are asked to try to refrain from conducting business through email because of the
FOIA.
County policies and FOIA. If there are three or more persons, you cannot conduct business unless it's an official meeting that has to be posted and all the regulations that go along with that. So we really worked hard last year at trying to keep our emails very minimal. You're welcome to talk to, you know, one-on-one to people, but we try not to put any business. There's no discussion of business or voting through email, anything like that. We keep it very minimal and informative. We can send out like flyers and upcoming meetings, NVAN information. You can send out information. We're just not, we're asked to really try to refrain from conducting business through email.
Right. You got it.
I may have missed a part of that. Okay, because I get really nervous when it's time to email, right? So I will send things not as often, but to Matt. So are you saying, like, today, if we vote, we can't say in the email?
You can send it to your supervisor.
Okay.
Just not COA.
Okay.
Yeah, send stuff to Terry and she distributes.
Okay, got it. All right.
Enough discussions and voting through our email, but yeah, you can certainly absolutely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if you want to send,
you could also send out an email. Did I understand this correct? You can't do that.
Because that could open up for a conversation.
Yeah.
Got it.
And you can send an individual email. We're trying to avoid a group getting in because you can get into a lengthy discussion with 10 million emails going back and forth.
And so you send stuff to Terry, and then she distributes it to the rest of the COA.
Rather than replying all.
Yeah, that's the right.
Well, let's say we take some action today, and then after this meeting, you come back and say, "Well, I didn't want to vote that way. I wanted to go this way," and it's too late.
Yeah, it's
too late.
Yeah.
No, that's not
done. Yeah.
All right.
Said and done. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't forget Faith, either.
On the phone. Okay, I have a couple things, but I'm going to be really, really quick. Okay, so right now with the NVAN Advocacy Committee, we are getting ready to, in April, there's going to be the platform for new ideas or new bills that we might have in mind that we want to present to the committee to see if they would vote on it. And so right now I'm working with Mr. Michael Schuster on a CNA workforce bill. So I haven't even written it yet. I just have talking points. This is my first time doing this, so it's probably going to take everything in me to make sure I write this properly. But our next meeting, I'm hoping that I can bring it to our next meeting just so I can give you guys a heads up for what it's going to look like. So then maybe you'll vote.
And you said CNA, what is
that? Certified Nurses Assistant.
Okay.
And the idea is to ask the state of Virginia to offer a program that will allow for it to be tuition free because we're very, very Thank you. Short. I was looking for another word, but short is easy.
Yeah.
Short on CNA.
So you want us to vote so you get the confidence of this group when you go to NBAM?
Well, I want to present it to you, see what you all think. Maybe you might have something to add that could be a talking point that I'm missing. Or maybe I need to take something out because I'm writing too much. So it's just to present to you guys, you all will know what's coming. And then when it's time to vote, possibly you might be interested in voting for
that. Where does that go once we say yes or no?
Once we say yes or no, either way, it's going to go to NVAN. I'm still going to present it there. But you guys just get.
You like the consensus of your own group.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you'd like to know that we're behind.
Yes.
And how many counties are in NVAN?
Whoa.
Five.
Okay.
And each of us who participates in a selected NVAN meeting in which all of these proposals are voted on will have a vote. In the past years, when we've been there in person, we've plastered these things on the wall,
mm-hmm.
and everybody would have three votes. You go up and put one of your three votes against those proposals. Both budget items and legislative items mm-hmm. that you want to support. And then we take the best, the five leading of each category and send that on to the state legislature.
So just to give you some really quick background on NVAN, so it's the Northern Virginia Aging Network. As Faith said, they're not a nonprofit. It's really a grassroots organization. Mm-hmm. They are supported through NVRC, the regional commission, just in terms of having someone to hold our funds, because we do collect funds from sponsorship during our annual breakfast. So every fall, there's a legislative breakfast. This is the only event that NVAN does every year for the public. But the purpose of it is to invite elected officials, representatives, candidates to come and to hear what the platform is. So those who participated at NVAN, like Lakeisha, who they create the platform and then vote, and then they do all the history, the write-up, and then that is all presented at this breakfast every fall. And so approximately 200 to 220 mm-hmm. people attend every year. It's always held in Fairfax. I'm on the breakfast planning committee. This year it will be September 20th. Which is a Friday. It's very early. It starts at 8 a.m.
Where?
So it's in Fairfax. And it will be held at the Country Club of Fairfax this year. We've had it there a few times already. It's been great. But that's the purpose of it is to get in front of the legislators to share the information. And then they take that back to Richmond and hopefully move forward with those legislative priorities and those budget priorities. So if you're interested in public policy, this is a fantastic group. NVAN itself is run by all of the agencies on aging in Northern Virginia in terms of like the coming up with the agenda and the speakers for each meeting. So they meet every other month. And then every jurisdiction has a chance once a year to host a meeting. It's virtual. And Tricia will handle those logistics for when Loudon hosts, but the chair will be the one who leads that meeting. Hope that all makes sense.
And we had a really good, you always have a good speaker there with the record.
Yes.
Last year was aging, what about aging something?
Yes, Steve Gurney spoke last year. And one thing when we talk about income and services for residents, he really did focus in on it. The middle income group that are often forgotten. So most of our programs are not income based, they're needs based. So we work for family services, for APS, about the companion program, and there's not a fee for that program, and they do have an income threshold. Our programs are needs based. Hope that helps.
Thanks.
I mentioned the House bill, and I just want to read this to you. It's allowing advisory commissions to hold up to 50% of their meetings virtually. It'll be effective July 1st, 2024. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the things we were kind of interested in. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing is I went over to the adult day, the Eastern, what do you call
Eastern
it? Yeah, I got to meet Megan, and I got to do a tour. It was really nice. Nobody was there. Everybody was gone. It was funny. I left the Ashburn Senior Center, and they all went to the Ashburn Senior Center to shoot pool that day. So no one was there. However, what I did find out is that they have a little clinic. They call it their clinic, where they check the blood pressures, and they do this like once a month. So considering the fact that I'm a CNA, I asked if I could, it's only once a month, it's like an hour or two. So if I could help out doing that, just to kind of keep myself going. So
you need something.
Yeah. Raising kids, that's not enough. Yeah. So anyway, it was nice to meet Megan, and it was nice to go by there. And Sally was there also. So it was nice. It's a cute little facility. I like it. That's it for
me. Where was that again?
Eastern Loudoun.
Adult day.
Adult day. Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
It's Ashburn.
The Eastern Loudoun is in Ashburn?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's like behind Top Golf somewhere back there.
Oh, yeah. It's across from where One Loudoun is, but you got to cross. That's on the other side of 7. About right there.
Yeah.
What is it called?
Eastern Loudoun.
Eastern Loudoun Adult Day Center.
Ooh.
They need some toys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Don't forget Faith.
Faith, anything? Faith?
I wanted to ask if it's too late to nominate Kane for co-chair.
Oh.
Oh, okay. We didn't get into it. Okay, we're going to get to that.
All the nominations are in. Thanks, Faith.
All right. We're going to get to that now.
Okay. Also, I just wanted to say that I don't have like a tangible idea, but somewhere in last year or some time last year, we talked about spreading the word by being available at certain events with either Parks and Rec or the Area Agency on Aging to kind of, again, spread the word and to engage with the community and to introduce ourselves, you know, with the various community members, for instance, Ashburn and or Austin and or and so on. So I want to formulate that a little bit more so that we are in the community outreaching and maybe even somehow come up with a new event just for COA or not just for COA in conjunction with the Area Agency on Aging.
I like it.
Okay.
Thanks, Faith.
Okay.
That's
I great.
Like it.
Thank
yeah.
you. All right.
Thank you, Faith.
So, okay. Let me see. I am looking at discussion of statement. Okay. I guess it's time to talk about the voting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you look at the minutes, the last meeting, we did have a. We did have some discussion at that meeting, so.
And a slate of nominees.
Slate of nominees. So the way things stand now, two people have been nominated for chair.
No. Only you. Remember
you. All right. I didn't want you to.
No, okay, it's fine. Right.
Okay.
That's not me.
So, right now, there's just one person nominated for chair. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Vice chair. That's you.
And vice chair, Lakeisha.
Yes.
Vice chair.
Yes. I'd like to self nominate.
I think I just heard Faith say she wanted to do it.
She should be vice chair.
I just wanted to.
Okay. Faith, Richard declined. So it's just.
I've had my time. Okay. And there's so many other qualified individuals that need to.
Well, we need you here for sure, though. You're the institutional member here.
I love being here with you guys.
Okay. So right now we just have one person for vice chair. Secretary Samaya, she declined. Robin, you are. Our only nominee, I think, right now for secretary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, any other nominations from the floor here?
Okay. Then I'd like to make a motion that by acclamation we approve all three of those nominees for for the positions for which they have been nominated. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Hearing no objections, the motion has passed. We congratulate our new officers.
Thank you. Meeting schedule.
Thank you, Mr. President.
By the way, I mentioned before about putting Rich in for the award. It all started because he served twice, you know, twice as long as anyone else as chair. And I wanted to make sure that was recognized somehow. So
thank you.
I did that. Okay. All right. So the next thing is the meeting schedule. And we have to meet 6 times a year. So right now, I guess the question is, we want to set the schedule for the year, what months we want to meet.
Yeah, and typically we're not obligated to do any particular months, but past history, we often skip 1 month in the summer because they're very low attendance. Everybody likes to go on vacation or travel. And then we have often skipped December as well, just because there's so many other things going on. Mm-hmm. But it's entirely up to you how you'd like to do that. But our bylaws do say we have to meet 6 times is the minimum.
And then a virtual meeting is to be held as long as we have give a month notice.
We try to, I mean, we prefer to meet in person.
Yeah, but because of COVID, sometimes.
Yeah,
yeah.
There is a possibility of doing it. Virtually.
Mm-hmm. Is that 1 month notice set in stone, or for example, if we were supposed to meet next month and we had a blizzard come?
Yeah.
That happened last month.
Could that meeting be switched to virtual?
Not at a moment's notice, no, because we don't have the technology to do it that quickly. But we do follow the county policies.
And individuals can participate virtually.
Right. You do have to get it approved.
And
it has to be approved ahead of time because we have to send it to the county attorney. So it is, you know, unfortunately, you can't call in the day of or day before and say, I want to do it virtually. We have to be able to provide this to the county attorneys. We usually prefer a week would be great because they may be out or busy. But I believe, you know, 3 days might work. We suggest if you know you're not going to be able to attend, but you want to do so virtually, if you can let us know a week ahead in writing, and you have to give Terry the telephone number you'll be reached at, where you're located,
and the
reason why. That's for county policy. It has to be
two times a year. That's it. They can do that two times a year.
Yeah, you're permitted 2 times a year to do that virtually, and it has to be approved through the county attorney, which you just send that to Terry, and they request those 3 items, where you'll be, your telephone number,
and the why.
Telephone number, address, and you have to state the reason why, and then the county attorney improve that. They keep track of it.
So in other words, if you wake up one morning and you test positive for COVID,
but
by the way, is exactly what happened last month to me.
You're permitted to miss meetings. You can miss 2 meetings in a row without explanation.
Exactly.
A third in a row, well, then you need to say, well, you know, I missed it, but I'm really quite interested in continuing in support of the COA.
Nice.
Last
month,
as a matter of
Oh, my goodness.
And I would have been here just so contagious.
I was just saying that you cannot attend virtually here unless we have a quorum.
That's right.
Here.
Remotely.
Right. You have to have a physical quorum.
Has to be a physical quorum, then.
Thank you.
Learn something new, everything. All right. So Well, I'll make a motion that we have a meeting, scheduled meeting every month except July and December going forward. So, but for a second.
I'll second it. I have vacation.
There you go.
Any discussion?
Tony, if you would.
Same day, the second Tuesday.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. If you would entertain a friendly amendment that it be the second Tuesday at
9:30. Oh, I'd say to meet on the second Tuesday very much. At 9:30 in the gorgeous Mickey Gordon room.
Yes.
And this gives time to schedule.
Okay. All right. So, motion on the floor. Got a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We got the agenda. Meeting's got to pass. Thank you. Suggestions for speakers. And then we did say also that once we're not meeting, we might want to go visit places too, like Mountain Hunger Relief. They've expanded their operation and maybe set up a time, or we could set up another time, I guess.
Or we could make one of the meetings.
Or make one of the meetings, yeah. As part of that. Sure. Okay, that'd be good. So that's one possibility. I'd like to, when I was an election officer last week, I met a lady who works in the housing department for Loudoun County, and talking about the different plans that they have to help people in housing. So I don't know, I'd like to throw that, put that on the table as a possible speaker, somebody from the housing office.
Yeah.
Talking about.
About affordable housing.
Affordable housing and then other, what are the different programs? And we did have, didn't we have the treasurer here one time to talk about the tax relief for seniors and then people?
Robert Wirtz. Mr. Wirtz.
Yeah, Mr. Wirtz. Yeah. Also another good person. Any other suggestions people like to see? You're from, but today was excellent. This was great. Yeah, Faith, you got one?
I was going to say, I love the community, so I can be often interested in Robin, Bob Wirtz.
Faith can reach out to Robert Wirtz.
Oh, okay. Oh, you can do that. Okay. All right. All right. Well, let's, I'd like to have Tricia go out. Would you be the one to contact?
Yes.
That's good. That's good, Faith, but I think we'd like to work through Tricia for our guest speakers to see you. Appreciate that.
If we come up with someone later, can we email that? Okay,
sure.
What about a transportation overview?
Transportation,
we had that, but it was last year.
Yeah, we had one for, transportation, yeah. And
that's always evolving.
Got to mention, where you're also encouraged to work with other commissions in Loudoun County, like their transportation committee.
Yeah.
You know, to attend their meetings and all that. You know, but we're all invited, and we've invited them to come to our meetings also for the time.
Yeah, tomorrow I'm going to the parole.
Congratulations.
Meeting. Actually, I didn't even know there was one until I went to the office the other day. So I'm going to attend there. They have a parole reentry. Advisory Commission. So I'm going there tomorrow.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. Any other business?
Can we take a group photograph of the three officers and those that are here? I'm always on publicity and documenting. And it just might be nice to have a group photo for today. So the new members, and now we have our three officers. I don't know what to do with it, but it's I don't know if there's a website or the communications department, but I'm always about let's promote us.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
And we do have a communications and public affairs. Craig, who Richard had mentioned, does do all that. So
it's inappropriate to take a photo now.
Not at all.
No, I can take a picture. Yeah, you can just have it up by It's also our alibi.
Yeah.
But now that we have three officers, I imagine we have three chairs with the three officers and then the remaining three behind them.
There you go. Sounds good.
Okay. Make it sounds like a communication.
It's what I do. Yeah. No drinks in your hand.
And don't want to have too much light in the background.
I was wondering.
I'm not the photographer.
Yeah.
I feel like I didn't come up with the idea. No.
I think we should be sitting on that side.
Yeah.
Something in the background.
Yeah. Well, something in the back. Yeah.
Wait, what about those three chairs we stand behind with the blue wall?
Oh, sure. That sounds good.
Is that okay, Tony?
You just turn those little rods there. There you go.
Could we turn this way?
Yeah. Sorry.
I'm trying to avoid getting the fire.
Thank you. We're going to be gender now.
And then we'll scoot all the way to the table.
Yes.
And I'm going to, I'll end up coming.
You might get in the middle.
No.
That's what I was thinking.
Absolutely.
Do you mind getting just a little more? Oh, he's the barber. All right, everybody.
From our
very nice. Okay, there we go. Thank you.
All right.
It's a nice memento.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great idea.
Awesome idea.
A good one. I'm full of them.
Adding value. All right.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. So
okay.
Are we done?
Ready? Well,
we got a motion to adjourn first. Okay, who approved? Did Marcia approve and then Lina seconded? Great. You all are great.
You're getting your name in the minute.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
What was the name of that organization that some guy gave a presentation on? They make stuff and sell stuff.
Oh, gosh, and he was just
here.
Every citizen has an opportunity.
Okay.
Oh, shoot. Excuse me.